When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. Let us pray. God, give us hearts to know your love, ears to hear your whispers, eyes to see your glory, and lips to speak only your truth. Amen. Please. Today, I want to talk to you about Jesus the boy, Jesus the tested. Both our gospel lesson and Paul's letter to the Hebrew talk about Jesus and his humanity. Now, yes, you'll say, Jesus goes into the temple and this old man comes up and says, "This is the Lord's Messiah. I've finally seen everything. I can die now, and I'm okay with that." There's some divinity of Jesus, to be sure, in this lesson from Luke. But the context in which it happens is because of his humanity. And I think that's important for us to hear today. The whole reason for Jesus and Mary and Joseph to be going into the temple in the first place today is because he was a young boy. And it was required for his parents to take him there and present him as an offering to God, to be proclaimed the firstborn, the Holy One, all after the promise of Abraham and Moses. So there they are, following the rules of what people are supposed to do. That's why he's in the temple, why he gets to be proclaimed the Lord's Messiah, and why Anne gets really excited. Because Jesus was a boy. We so often think of just those moments where the Messiah is declared, of just those moments when people recognize, people that have lived more years than most live today, and certainly more than they lived 2,000 years ago when the average lifespan was something like 35 or 40. There's an 84-year-old who comes up to him and says, "Oh, goodness, this is something special. She's seen a lot." People got married young back in those days. She was married for 7 years. Her husband died, and then she lived as a widow in the temple. You do the math. She's been there a minute or two. She recognizes that there is something special about this particular boy. Because if she's been in the temple for, oh, who knows, let's say she got married at 17, because that's, you know, people, like I said, people got married early. So she's been there for 60 years in the temple. She's seen a lot of firstborn children come and go. Generations of them. And something about this boy. And we don't know how old he is. This is one of the few stories we get in the whole gospel about Jesus the boy. There he is. And he's special. And Jesus the boy is also Jesus the tested. Those of us who have lived more than a couple years, even if we have lived under 10, even if we've lived 100, we know that life has a lot of pressure. Life has a lot of tests. Life has a lot of trials, confusion. And there's Jesus the boy told that he's going to be responsible for the rising up of and the falling of many in Israel. He's told by these strangers in the temple that he is the Messiah, something that he knows but isn't used to being recognized for yet as a child. He's told that seeing him made someone's life complete. And I want us to all think about the amount of pressure that puts on a little child. I want us all to think about, even as adults, whatever age we may be, if someone said, "I've seen you now, my life is complete." I want to think about what kind of pressure we would feel in that situation. Because Jesus, like you and I, was a person. We get swept up and caught up in the fact that, yes, Jesus is the Messiah, and we know it to be true, and we know he came through those pressures and did all sorts of cool stuff. You know, like saving us. Kind of a big deal. But in this moment, he was just a boy who walked into the church and was told, "You are the Savior of us all." That moment is a test for Jesus too. Jesus, who is not immune to ambition because he's a human. He's not immune to the draw of power or circumstance because he's a boy. Jesus today shows us that we can stand up to the pressures of this life. That's what all that's to say. Jesus shows us that there is a way, whatever the pressures are, even if someone comes up to you and says, "You will be responsible for the rising up and the falling of a people." He shows us there's a way through it. Later on in his life, he tells his followers that he's the way through it. You and I have the advantage of hindsight into this scenario. You and I can see that Jesus stayed humble. That when he went home, Luke writes, he studied and grew in favor and wisdom. Jesus' parents didn't know that. Jesus didn't know that. He just knew that he was a scared boy with too much pressure put on him. You and I face pressures every day. Probably not quite on that scale, I'll give you that. But we have pressures in our lives. People or situations for which we feel responsible. People or situations that tell us that we're responsible. I'm here today to remind us all that if we look at the example of Jesus, even Jesus, still a man but a king on a cross, in that humility and in all those pressures and tests and trials which he had to endure growing up, being told how special he was, that there's a way through it. There's a light at the end of it. And that if we follow that way of Jesus, that way of humility and care, even and especially for the people that he was told that he wasn't supposed to care for by everyone around him, if we follow that way, we will find a way through the pressures. If we follow that way, we will find a way to care and love in the midst of those pressures and beyond. If we follow that way, We will see that in this moment, when God came to the temple and was presented before the people, he didn't say, "Yes, I am God the Almighty." He went home and he studied and he cared and he loved. If we follow that way, Jesus the boy, Jesus the tested, we will see that the pressures in this life that say there are people we should not love, people that are unworthy of love, when we see that, we will be able to say that is untrue. And now I get into what I didn't intend to say, because I got up this morning and I got really riled up. I'm not a morning person, and most of you kind of know that, because I say God, I know God has a sense of humor, because God made me a priest and I have to get up early on Sunday mornings. And this morning I awoke to some news. A bill in South Dakota stating that people of the LGBTQ plus community, in fact, really aren't people, is what it kind of says. Says you can't make conversion therapy illegal. It says you can't change your identity. It says that the state gets to decide what God says about marriage. And the state, by the way, just so we're all in the know, says that marriage is a man and a woman, and no church or nobody can license or support a marriage that doesn't include a man and a woman. That made me angry, y'all. Not only because it's in violation of our nation's law, but because it's in violation of the law of God. The law to love one another and to love God. These kinds of pressures, my sisters, brothers, and others, are what Jesus faced. Make no mistake about it, that we don't live just 2,000 years after Jesus. We live when the same pressures, the pressures of who God loves, being denied to them, those pressures stand before us, stand all around us. Just as the pressures stood around Jesus, they stand around you and I. So, and I'm going to say after the annual meeting, because I know some of you, most of you, I hope will come, some of you won't. When you go home, when you return to your little Nazareth in Galilee, study and pray. Grow in the wisdom of God, the wisdom that says the love of God is beyond human understanding, which means it's beyond human definition. Take care to see the pressures around you. To not sit in comfort when these pressures face us. To remember, and we say it at the beginning of every Right One service, the first commandment is to love God as with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. The Hebrew is nefesh, your veriness, all your everything is what you're supposed to love God with. And to love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Forget what anybody else says about who God loves or why God doesn't love them. And grow in the wisdom and favor of God. Amen.